Welcome to the Weekly Insight Podcast, where we break down the noise of the week and help you understand the psychology of the markets with your host, Andrew Doerr at Insight Wealth Group.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the latest edition of the Weekly Insight Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Andrew Doerr. I want to take a moment and thank you for joining us and do what I do every week and just remind you that what you're about to hear today shouldn't be considered individual investment advice, but instead just my thoughts and my firm's thoughts on what's happening in the market and the economy. If you'd like to discuss how it might impact your personal portfolio, I'd encourage you to give us a call. All right, let's go ahead and jump into last week. A week ago, when we did this podcast, I talked about how the market was essentially moving on from the Fed. But just because the market wasn't viewing every economic data point through the lens of what the Fed would do, the Fed's direct actions still had the ability to move markets and, most importantly, bring this current rally to a screeching halt. And that is why we ended the podcast and we ended last week's memo with a statement that said basically this: if the Fed comes out and drastically changes their expectation for rate cuts, if they reduce them dramatically, the market is going to respond very poorly to that. So we had the Fed meeting last week. What'd they do? Well, it was pretty good. There were no change in the expectations for rate cuts in 2024. They're still planning on three. A market that really stalled out waiting for an answer in the first couple of days of last week responded really positively, and the market closed above 5,200 in the S&P for the first time in history. And so the market's done again with the Fed for now. We will certainly be back to this conversation before the next meeting in May, and as we're going to discuss here a little bit later, probably more importantly before June. But I do think there was an interesting discussion that was had around the Fed meeting and in Powell's press conference and frankly in the Fed statement that's worth addressing, that's a little different than what we've talked about on this podcast and our memos before. Because while the conversation has always been around interest rates, there is another thing that they're doing that is quietly very, very important. And that is what they're doing with the Federal Reserve's balance sheet. Now, the whole point of Fed policy decisions is to either tighten or loosen monetary policy, and that impacts the overall economy. If things are running too hot, if we're getting inflation, they tighten things down. If the economy is starting to slow down, if it looks like we're going to go into a recession, they loosen things up, and their goal is to really keep things stable on both sides of that spectrum. We're all familiar with the most public way this gets done, and that's interest rates. If they need to slow the economy down, slow inflation, slow growth, they raise interest rates, and that tightens down the economy and helps cool off an overheating economy. The opposite for lowering rates. But interest rates are not the only tool in the Fed's arsenal. The other, and it's a fairly new tool, is their balance sheet. It's important to understand what that is. In general, the Fed's balance sheet is made up of publicly traded bonds. Mostly, this is U.S. government bonds, but at various times over the last 16 years, the Fed has bought and sold mortgage bonds and corporate bonds. But how does the Fed buying bonds impact the economy? It's really basic economics. If the Fed goes out and buys a bunch of treasuries, the cash used to buy those treasuries is going to inject capital into the economy in exchange for the interest-bearing bonds they receive. That extra capital or cash in the economy can help stimulate economic activity. In a manner, it's very easy to grow the Fed's balance sheet, which is something the Fed did in earnest coming out of 2008, 2009, as well as during the COVID crisis. Growing the balance sheet is wildly stimulative to the economy and, given the wrong environment, inflationary. We need to think of it as kind of the cousin to cutting interest rates. Shrinking the balance sheet, on the other hand, is the cousin to raising interest rates. Money is being sucked out of the economy, tightening up monetary supply and slowing down the economy. The Fed is doing that right now. Now, there are two ways to shrink the balance sheet. The most immediate and draconian as it comes to slowing the economy is for the Fed to start selling the bonds that are in their portfolio back into the public market. That is going to suck cash very quickly out of the economy. It's not going to be good for the bond market, but that's not what they're doing, nor frankly, something they intend to do. Instead, the Fed is allowing the assets on their balance sheet to run off. What does that mean? That means they're letting bonds that they have purchased mature, but they're not redeploying the cash that they receive from that maturity back into the marketplace. That simple strategy has shrunk the Fed's balance sheet by about $1.4 trillion in the last 22 months. But the balance sheet still sits at about $7.5 trillion. Now, this is a fairly new strategy. Pre-2008, the Fed holding enormous amounts of public securities on their balance sheet was unheard of, but it became the heart of monetary policy throughout the 2010s. It wasn't really until 2018 that the Fed started trying to trim their balance sheet, and the first try didn't work out too well. The combination of rate increases and tightening led to an oft-forgotten but pretty ugly 2008 in the markets. That's a little bit reminiscent of what we experienced during the heart of this tightening cycle in 2022. Powell and the Fed didn't immediately reverse course like they did back in 2019, which is good, but they're getting close to backing off on shrinking the balance sheet, and it impacts what our expectations should be coming out of Fed meetings for the next few months. There is a strong consensus right now that the Fed is not going to cut in the May meeting. The current probabilities show an 87% chance of the Fed holding rates steady, and that's up from a 76% chance 30 days ago. We also know there won't be another dot plot until the June meeting, so barring any wild swings in inflation, the interest rate conversation is, while still important of course, on the back burner until the Fed meets in June. And that leaves the balance sheet conversation. Powell seemed to indicate that slowing the pace of the runoff was coming soon, potentially as early as May. And I'm going to quote him here. Turning to our balance sheet, our security holdings have declined nearly $1.5 trillion since the committee began reducing our portfolio. At this meeting, we discussed issues related to slowing the pace of the decline in our securities holding. The general sense of the committee is that it will be appropriate to slow the pace of runoff fairly soon. How do they slow the pace? They start buying more treasuries with the proceeds from matured bonds. While that doesn't mean more cash in the system, it does mean less cash being sucked out of the system, and that in its own way is stimulative, or at least less restrictive on the economy. It is kind of a half measure to cutting rates. Right now, the market loves this path. We can see it in what the market did for the last 3 days last week. And it means, much like we discussed last week, the market can forget about the Fed for the time being, or at least the next 6 weeks, and instead focus on what's ahead. And what's ahead is earnings season, which has the potential to be incredibly positive for the market. We're going to dive into that more next week. But long story short, what Powell and the Fed did this week, they didn't rock any boats. They gave us a little bit of hope, and they didn't give us a lot of new fear. So that's pretty good. It allows us to focus more on the fundamentals of the market, which we'll, as I discussed, start paying some more attention to in the next couple of weeks. We'll leave it there for now. As always, if you'd like to discuss this further, give us a call. You can reach us here at the office at 515-273-1333, or you can always visit us on the web at www.insightwealthgroup.com. I hope you have a fantastic week, and I look forward to touching base with you again soon. Take care.
Securities offered through Arete Wealth Management, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Arete Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment firm.